Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the Health Products Regulatory Body is considering making drugs that contain both codeine and ibuprofen available by prescription only, meaning that Nurofen Plus would no longer be sold over the counter. Now, to understand why this debate is even happening, I'm joined now by Professor Colin O'Gara, who's head of addiction services at St. John of God's. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, codeine is an opioid. Presumably, if you take it in large enough doses and often enough, you can become addicted. But how often do you come across, in your work, codeine addiction?
Well, it's a frequent presentation, Pat. It's practically on a daily basis. So we would see individuals who take large amounts of codeine. What you're talking about is anything up to 3 packets a day, so up to 72 tablets a day. Now, it's probably hard for your listeners to imagine how you would get up to that level. But, you know, people would start taking 3 or 4 in one go, then, you know, an hour later take more, and that would go on throughout the day. So, you know, although it is a weak opioid, when you're taking it at that level, so if you multiply 8 milligrams of codeine by, you know, 72, you're up into the hundreds in terms of codeine intake. So at that level, Pat, it is a significant drug of abuse and definitely an issue to be concerned about.
Okay, now if you're taking Nurofen Plus, if you're going to be up at 72 tablets a day, how much ibuprofen are you having and what impact would that have on your body?
Well, therein lies the problem, and that's why we're getting referrals from our gastroenterology colleagues, or it could be renal colleagues, or it could be liver colleagues. So often the referral, you know, we would have a lot of referrals from general practitioners, but also we would have referrals from major hospitals where you've had a perforation of the small bowel. You may have the kidneys shutting down, or you may have liver function tests that are completely off the charts, and you have what's called liver decompensation. So all of these conditions are very severe, very worthy of medical attention, and it's all coming from the fact that some people, and you know, you might say, well, what percentage of people? It's probably in around 10% of people who are taking these drugs develop a dependency on them and cause these serious medical problems.
Now, you deal with people with other addictions all the time, and alcohol would be a common one. We don't outlaw alcohol because a fraction have an addiction to alcohol. So what's the case for outlawing ibuprofen and codeine in compound?
Well, again, it comes down to, are you going to inhibit, say, 90% of people who are taking this drug? You know, they're going to use it properly. They're going to attend a pharmacy and use it for pain relief or muscular pain without a difficulty. Therein lies the difficulty here, Pat. And if you know, on the face of it, it does make sense, and I can understand the argument to, you know, to put this onto prescription. However, there may be unintended consequences. I mean, a lot of our patients will get a drug no matter what it is on the internet. So really, people will move from the pharmacy straight onto the internet. So with a click of a button, they will have codeine delivered to them. So therein lies the difficulty with this. And for me, what it really boils down to is the old issue with addiction is it's number one, awareness, and number two, service provision. So really, instead of putting what might be a bandage on this, what we need to look at is getting people treatment. And the way you do that is within the pharmacies, when people are looking for codeine and the pharmacist feels that there is a difficulty in terms of addiction, that there is at least even a leaflet that they can give with a telephone number for a service that's available and a service that's effective and works. That is probably the case in Dublin, Pat, that you have those services, but outside Dublin, probably not so much where it gets patchy.
So the idea of putting a Nurofen Plus on prescription, which might seem like an easy fix, on the one hand, for people who just want it for, as you say, a temporary muscle pain or whatever, they would have to go to the doc, pay €60 for a quick visit. And it would be quick if, you know, the doctor knows the patient and says, oh, you know, I understand that old ailment is back again. Take this for 4 days and then stop taking it. And the doc would control their behavior. But still, €60 plus the cost of the Nurofen Plus, you know, that could be a hardship.
Yeah, and also remember that general practitioners at the moment are completely overburdened. So those some of those services are completely bursting at the seams. So in terms of the person who doesn't have addiction issues, that's not only burdening the individual, but it's also burdening the general practitioner. In the case of addiction, the person will go in and invariably they'll get the prescription. But the question is, what do they do then? So really, it would be an expensive procedure to do that. And wouldn't it be much better to, at source, to try and divert these people to the correct services for addiction treatment, which really is the issue.
Now, talk to me about the other drug that contains codeine, which is salbutamol, over the counter. And, you know, many people would have used it the morning after the night before, but that's it. That would be their only use. And then other people might become more addicted to it. What's the difference in codeine content between the Nurofen Plus and salbutamol?
So typically, salbutamol and Nurofen Plus come in and around anywhere between 8 and 12.5 milligrams of codeine. That's currently the over-the-counter preparations. You jump up to, say, something like salbutamol, which is 30 milligrams of codeine. So they're much lower preparations of codeine and can be effective for a whole host of issues like muscular pain or headache or whatever, or tooth pain. You know, so taking them out and putting them into, you know, already overburdened GPs, I can only imagine that would have a major effect on general practitioners. Mm.
And again, presumably, as preparations like salbutamol or their equivalents, whether they're, you know, generic equivalents, would become available on the internet and people would have recourse there.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of changing our practice, Pat, the past 10 years has, you know, any substance you're talking about, be it benzodiazepines, opioids, as in this case, any kind of stimulants, even illicit drugs like cocaine, are all readily available on the internet. And for a lot of people, that's the route that they'll go because they don't want to interact with pharmacies in the first instance, and they don't want to interact with drug dealers. So the internet provides that route for people. And, you know, in terms of presentations to our clinics and what people will say, where, you know, they'll obviously tell us where they're getting the drugs from. The internet has been an utter game changer. So anything that we bring forward, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that that's a major route.
Yeah.
And it's not just doctors. I mean, the old tradition of what we call doctor shopping in terms of people going around to different doctors saying, you know, in the case of sleeping tablets, for instance, and benzodiazepines, yes, it is an important route, but also the internet is massive now.
Now, you mentioned ibuprofen and the impact on various organs of the body if you're taking massive amounts. Now, if you're taking salbutamol in, you know, significant amounts, and I don't know what kind of, you know, you have to drink a glass full of whatever with the salbutamol. I don't know how high a dosage people manage to get. What would be the impact of too much paracetamol?
Oh, well, paracetamol is catastrophic, Pat, in terms of particularly the liver. So, and again, we would see that, and, you know, people would be, and this is why, you know, in an addictive state with codeine, you see, you know, the big story really often people can take codeine, you know, for a long time and not suffer any immediate issues. The issue is something like paracetamol or a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory in the case of, you know, ibuprofen, but something like paracetamol is so toxic to the liver. And it can be, you know, slow. It's just a slow burner on the liver until such time as the liver packs in and you go into acute liver failure. And this is not uncommon. And a lot of, you know, again, it's awareness around the issue. So if we're talking about codeine, talking about putting it on prescription, we really do need to take a step back and go, well, what are we doing in terms of awareness? What are we doing in terms of stigma? if somebody feels they're taking this medication and it's hidden and they don't feel they can talk to anybody about it, what are the roots of, you know, to help these individuals? And also in terms of awareness to say that, look, there's an A, B and a C. If you have this problem, there are services, there is a treatment path, and you won't be treated like a, you know, a drug addict, you know, in terms of, you know, traditionally you might be. So that's the kind of route that I would be saying would be a better way to go in terms of just putting it on prescription.
A number of people saying just go across the border and you'll get Nurofen Plus if it's outlawed here or prescription only here. The real problem is most of us believe we're intelligent enough to self-medicate. Just as sitting in the armchair, we know more than the football manager, so says Brian. I take Solpidem for arthritis, says Bill in Dublin. I don't take anti-inflammatory meds, as I have high blood pressure. I get questioned constantly when purchasing codeine and I have to show my knuckle replacements. A prescription is fine, but perhaps there should be a card. However, I don't need proof to buy alcohol or cigarettes, should I want to, so says Bill. Anyway, Colin, information and help. That's the answer rather than prescription.
Information, help, and finally, Pat, services, you know. Again, we're probably always saying it in terms of, you know, clinicians and that, but really, particularly outside Dublin, that's what's needed.
Okay. Dr. Colin O'Garu, who's Head of Addiction Services at St. John of God's, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like Bad Dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.